providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back to Cortland Economics, featuring Jim McKinney. In this segment, we're going to talk about perhaps the complicated puzzle that is being formed by other nations that may be involved, unbeknownst to America, in the Gaza war. Jimmy, yeah, go ahead, Jim. What do you think?
Well, I think there's there's a tremendous number of people that are involved in this that are actually making statements or behind the scenes communicating and discussing both with Israel, with Hamas, and of course Iran and other people in the region. So there was a report I think on Sunday, right after the initial assaults, from Neil Cavuto's show with Michael McCaul, Republican leader on the Foreign Affairs House Foreign Affairs Committee, saying that Egypt had warned Israel. And of course, Israel has denied that vehemently, and Egypt came out and denied that vehemently. Now, we don't know the detail of what warning there was, if there was a little bit of a warning, or to what scope or scale there was. But Egypt is having to be very careful not to inflame their population in support of the Palestinians, so they're being careful and stepping it back. Erdogan, the president in Turkey, has taken a very strong stance, and actually one of his ministers actually threatened Netanyahu with it, said he would be murdered. He's been attempting to talk to the Hamas to get them to do hostage negotiations. And apparently there are some efforts. And of course, Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, U.S. Secretary of State, has said that they're working towards hostage negotiations. Now, we know that Iran has been funding terrorism in the region. They are the grand funder of terrorism throughout the world. That's a clear fact. You can't really deny that, as much as some people want to divert away from it. But the Biden administration provided the Iranian government, released funds that had been frozen, $6 billion in exchange for five Iranian Americans being held hostage by the Iranian government. So if you're a regional terrorist or you're a regional political power, and you see that the U.S. is willing to cough up $6 billion for five people, why wouldn't you be excited about taking 100 plus hostages in order to use them in negotiations to achieve your goals? So this becomes complex and very problematic, because we've set a precedent of negotiating with terrorists. And that's not the only money we've sent to Iran. The Obama administration, in order to get through the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, if you will, back now approaching 10 years ago, they gave the Iranians over $100 billion, a lot of it in cash. They had to fly it in aircraft to transfer that over to them, money that had been held up for years because of sanctions of the hostages situation back in 1979, 1980, under the Carter regime. So this set of policies that had kept Iran somewhat isolated over time was broken under the Obama administration, reestablished under the Trump administration, and then completely turned around with the same leadership that had been in the Obama administration that now sit in the Biden administration. And what you see is a complete failure of public policy and national security policy in allowing this negotiation, of allowing these funds to go forward to a country and a leadership that is really intent on gaining power in the region and pushing the United States out. And those are, clear objectives that they stated on multiple occasions.
And you're talking about Iran right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Iranians immediately came out praising the attacks. And right. Of course, we know that they've trained him, that we know that equipped him. There's no other capacity or any country that would be able to provide the type of support in the region or that would want to provide the support in the region. But there are a lot of crooked arms dealers, and there are a lot of Iranian political objectives, and Hamas has been a subservient ally to them. And you've got to think of this as in a much broader strategic power play to isolate Israel and possibly, and this is one speculation theory that I have, that as Israel had been building better relations with Arab nations, including the four nations that signed onto the Abraham Accords under the Trump administration, and they were getting close, and it's been announced in the last few weeks, getting close to actually formalizing the relationship with the Saudi government.
Right.
This type of action and such extreme attacks on the civilian population by Hamas will create a very powerful reaction. And I think the Iranians are using Hamas to do that in order to separate Israel from Arab nations once again, because they'll be inflamed at the atrocity, the power that Israeli goes after Hamas. So it is a complicated strategic gamble on all sides, but it is much deeper than what most people think. And I think there are a lot of power plays going on in the world
over
this.
Yeah, of course there are. You know, what I want to bring up here is that a lot of countries around the world have structured, for lack of better terms, peace treaties between the Israelis and other countries. Don't forget, Xi Jinping was very active in doing that after Donald Trump's son-in-law started that particular train down the track, also being very successful. And Xi Jinping, I have to say, was incredibly successful in accomplishing this. Where is this going to take the Middle East in the future? My guess would be countries like China and perhaps other strong countries will now have more of a role to play in the direction, Jim, of the Middle Eastern countries.
Well, there's certainly a fight going on right now for power. And remember, Iran and China are very closely tied because of oil sales and energy requirements that the
right.
Chinese need to continue their manufacturing kind of dominance. And the Russians are dependent upon Iran for equipment. They've been getting Shahed drones. They've been getting a large number of weapons from Iranians. So that actually is a very interesting dynamic. Complex dynamic that's going on. And of course, with the Ukraine-Russia conflict right now, the United States has been funding Ukraine, pouring all our ammunition into them.
Right.
Israel depends on the United States as a primary security partner to guarantee their logistics sustainment over a long period of time. We're running out of ammunition. We're not going to be able to sustain support to Ukraine and Israel and maintain defenses on our own. For our own positions, and then the possibility for another player to step in and cause catastrophes, say maybe a movement by China on Taiwan, has become much more highly probable, because the United States has shown a tremendous amount of weakness and poor policy planning across the board, starting from the disastrous evacuation from Afghanistan, the failure to keep the Russians from actually initiating the invasion into Ukraine. And of course, the Middle East now is a disaster because of the support the Biden administration reestablished to Hamas and the regional players in Iran. So, and by the way, over the next year, these people in the Biden administration aren't getting any smarter, and Joe Biden is not getting more competent. So we are in a very difficult situation going forward.
And we're going to discuss this very difficult situation more in the summary of the program. I think it's almost a major understatement on Jim's part. I think the problem is huge for the United States now. Stick around. We're going to be right back and describe that.